morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez, and with me again this week is Master Gardener Bill Hooten. Welcome back, Bill.
Good morning, Norma.
Well, there are a lot of bugs here in the region, some good, some bad. The ones we probably want to focus more on today's show is butterflies. And everybody in El Paso loves butterflies. Not everybody may love the caterpillars that precede the butterflies. But we're going to talk a little bit about butterflies and some other kinds of bugs on a special bug show that we have for today, Bill.
Absolutely.
And we've got a special guest in the studio, Mark Miggy, an associate professor and extension entomologist at A&M. Welcome to Good to Grow.
Thank you.
Before the interview started, we were chit-chatting a little bit about butterflies, and you mentioned a pretty interesting statistic about the number of butterflies that we have here in West Texas.
Yeah, butterfly diversity is great in West Texas, probably more so than anywhere else in the country. We have an excess of over 125 different types of butterflies in West Texas alone.
Now, do moths count under the butterfly
category? No, if you want to stick moths in there, then we're probably upwards towards 1,000. So there's lots and lots of moths out here, too. But in general, the butterflies are more spectacular. They have brighter colors, and they fly in the daytime. And that's generally what people see and what people like.
And so, the moths are more nocturnal.
Yes, the moths are nocturnal, and we don't see them very often. And more often than not, they're not very colorful, so people don't care too much for them.
That's right. So what interesting things can you tell us about butterflies? Pretty much all we know is that, I think the basic general knowledge is that they're little caterpillars, they get into their little metamorphosis stage, and then they turn into butterflies, and they fly around and land on our pretty little butterfly-attracting plants, and then they go off and make more caterpillars. I mean, I'm sure there's more to the life of a butterfly than just that.
Yeah, you know, butterflies are like most other insects. They are here to propagate, and so they do that well, but they also are good pollinators, and so we like to have butterflies around to pollinate our flowers. And because butterflies are so colorful and so attractive to look at, we like to attract them to our yards. Butterflies are pretty easy to attract to our yards because there's not a lot of plants out there for butterflies to feed from in the desert areas. And so in our home landscape, we have the opportunity to plant lots of different types of flowers that will attract butterflies to our gardens. One of the things when you're planting a butterfly garden is what kinds of colors are you looking for? And, you know, people like all different kinds of colors, but butterflies really are attracted to certain kinds of colors more than others. So when you're choosing flowers, choose whites and yellows and purples. Those are the top three butterfly colors. And they also seem to prefer composite-type flowers more than the large, showy blooms that you see on some flowers like hibiscus.
So maybe by composite you mean like a small little bundle of a whole bunch of flowers,
yes,
like on a lantana perhaps.
Exactly, exactly. And the reason for that is because each one of those little flowers produces nectar, and of course that's the food source for the butterflies. And so butterflies have what are referred to as compound eyes. And so they have all these little facets on their eyes, and they see a little different than we do. Their long vision is not very good, but their up-close vision is very good. So what you try to do in the garden is plant large expanses of a single color, so it makes it easier for the butterfly to spot that from a long distance. And then once they move in, you've got them. And they're going to stay around for a long time and feed on the nectar of those flowers.
Yeah, I've got a butterfly bush in my backyard, and them and the hummingbirds also really
yes.
like those flowers.
Butterfly bush or buddleia is a wonderful plant to have for butterflies. It seems like the purples are the favorite color of the butterflies, too. So plant some buddleia, plant some purple coneflower. White mist flower is a wonderful plant. Eupatorium havanesii is what it's called. And there's another Eupatorium, Gregii is what it's called, and it's called purple mist flower. And both of those flowers are wonderful butterfly attractants. So if you can get those, by all means, plant them. They do well in our area, and they attract lots of butterflies all summer long.
Well, I know that monarch butterflies are very famous for their migratory patterns. And
yes.
I thought it was interesting. I remember there was a show we have here called Science Studio that airs on Sunday. Several years ago, we had I'm not sure if she was an entomologist. I think she's a biologist. But she was telling us about the migrating pattern of the monarch and how usually you won't have the same monarch leaving from up north that ends up in Mexico and back.
Right.
Somehow they have sort of this internal mechanism that tells them exactly where it is they need to
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Are there any monarchs that pass through the El Paso area, or are there any West Texas butterflies that have a similar migratory pattern? Or is that unique to monarchs?
Well, no, it's not unique to monarchs. There are other butterflies that do have migratory patterns, but not as extensive and intricate as the monarchs. The monarch has evolved over the tens of thousands of years this really special and unique migratory pattern that allows them to expand their territory every year. The butterfly that you see migrating south on their way back to Mexico will probably not be the same butterfly that you see moving this way in the springtime. So those individuals that make it to those hibernating spots in Mexico will, in the springtime, start moving north and laying their eggs, but probably won't live long enough to make it to the U.S. But their offspring certainly will.
Well, it's just amazing.
It is.
They have that instinctual pattern in their brain.
It's genetically predisposed in their brains to do that.
Dr. Maggie, what's the lifespan of a monarch compared to other butterflies? Is it different or are they different?
Yes, they're actually one of the longer-lived butterflies. Now, there are other butterflies that will live several months. The monarch in particular can live, you know, up to 9 months, maybe a year. There are some
That's a pretty long time.
It is. It is for an insect.
Yeah.
Although there are some termites that live as long as 15 years
no,
to get off subject.
We don't need to hear that.
No. But yes, monarchs live a long time relative to other butterfly species. Some butterflies, the reason that they live so long is because the monarch, like some other butterflies, not only feed on nectar, which is a good source of carbohydrates, but they get protein. And they get the protein from the pollen on flowers that they feed on. And those butterflies that are short-lived, usually 2 to 3 weeks, don't feed on pollen. They just feed on nectar. But they need that protein source in order to live a long time.
What are some of the other larger butterflies that we see in our area that some of us may have seen? Because in my recollection, if they're real small, I don't notice them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't see very many different larger ones.
You know, if you're not a butterfly watcher like I am, I mean, I notice even the tiniest little butterflies.
I'm sure.
And a lot of people, you know, if you're a bird watcher, you notice every little bird, even though you see all those that you can't tell one from the other. Well, butterflies can be the same way. But we actually do have several fairly large, gaudy butterflies. And one in particular is the two-tailed swallowtail. I guess I would call it a tiger swallowtail because it is yellow with black striping. And it is very distinctive, and that is probably the largest butterfly that we have in our area. And unlike other swallowtail butterflies that we get, it really does have two tails on its hind wings.
Hmm.
So once you see one, you'll never forget it because they're so striking in their color pattern. And they're most common in the spring, usually April would be probably the best time of year to see this butterfly. Mm-hmm. Although they fly all summer long, it seems like they're most common in the spring. We get other larger butterflies. We have the giant swallowtail, which comes through every once in a while, almost rivals the size of the two-tailed swallowtail. We have the pipevine swallowtail, which is another one. It has very striking metallic blue hind wings. We have the black swallowtail, which also has metallic blue on its hind wings.
Well, a lot of the color is really to keep the predators away. Isn't that right? That a lot of birds and stuff see those bright colors and bright patterns, and they see them sort of as a warning.
Right. The pipevine swallowtail in particular is one of those species that feeds on a plant called pipevine. That's why it's called pipevine swallowtail. Restalochia is the genus name that it feeds on, and this particular plant has secondary plant compounds that make this insect not palatable to birds. And so other species of butterfly, swallowtails in particular, the tiger swallowtail and also the black swallowtail have evolved to mimic its color pattern to protect it from predation from birds. And so they're perfectly palatable, but since they have at least to birds, I don't want to eat one, but at least to birds, they're perfectly palatable, but they see that as a pipevine swallowtail, and they say, no, I'm not going to eat that. And so the monarch does the same thing. The monarch eats only milkweeds. And milkweeds have this compound in it called cardiac glycosides, and that makes animals who eat them sick. And so the viceroy butterfly, which is a butterfly that occurs here, mimics the monarch. And it is another palatable species, but it is offered protection because of the monarch butterfly.
Are there any butterflies that are here 12 months a year or in the winter?
You will see some of the what are referred to as the pierids. That's the family name. But those are the sulfurs and the whites, and they're called that because some of them are yellow and some of them are white. And some of them overwinter as adults. And when we have a warm summer or a warm winter day, that sometimes triggers them to come out in search of water or nectar or something like that. So, yes, we can get some in the summer or in the wintertime.
Interesting.
Well, in the little time we have left, we still have about 2 or 3 minutes left. I want to talk a little bit about the predecessor to the butterfly, which is the caterpillar. That's right.
They're wonderful. So,
well, not if they're eating your plants, unfortunately. So say you're planning a butterfly garden and you want to attract these butterflies. You want to keep them. In other words, you also want to have to keep caterpillars in your yard as well. You need to have sort of a sacrificial plant, I'm assuming, that the caterpillars can feast on.
I
have one in my yard, unfortunately, that wasn't supposed to be sacrificial.
Whoops.
Which I planted next to a butterfly bush. It was my Texas mountain laurel, and those just get eaten right up. But is there anything that maybe people might want to plan for?
Well, unfortunately, the Texas mountain laurel, the insect or the larva that happens to be eating that is called a genista caterpillar, and it actually turns into a moth. And it's not a very attractive moth.
So I won't feel so bad then when I kill those.
No,
all right,
you
good.
You can spray those caterpillars and not worry that you're hurting any beautiful butterflies. But yes, in my butterfly garden, in my backyard, I plant plants specifically for certain species of butterflies. And the pipevine swallowtail, I plant pipevine for the caterpillars. For gulf fritillary, I plant passion vine. For black swallowtails, I plant dillweed. The only issue is you really can't plant enough. They will lay so many eggs on them that the caterpillars will eat them to the ground. So you may have to do some mechanical harvesting to keep those caterpillars from eating themselves out of existence.
Are there any resources you may want to point some of our listeners to if they maybe want to learn a little bit more about butterflies?
Well, there's the National Association of Butterfly. It's NABA, N-A-B-A. And I forget what the last A stands for.
Do they have a website?
They have a website. All you have to do is type in National Butterfly Association, and it will take you directly to their website.
That's a great resource.
Mm-hmm. It is a great resource.
And that's one of the questions we get a lot when we have our live shows is how do I attract butterflies to my garden? So I think people will hopefully learn a lot.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Mark Mickey, for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, Mark is associate professor and extension entomologist at A&M. And again, we want to thank you for being here. Bill Hooten, again, it's great to have you here once again.
We enjoyed ourselves again. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Remember, you can listen to this and some of our past shows online at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page, where we also have some very helpful links if you want to learn more about gardening in the desert. I'm Norma Martinez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.